Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Once again, our text for this morning is at verse 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man. We pointed out before that when the Lord wants to draw our attention to something in particular, He wants us, of course, to attend to all of His words. But when there's something that particularly wants us to note, the Lord always puts in the word behold. And here the Lord evidently wants us to take a look at this man Simeon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation of Israel is what the Jews referred to as Messiah. And he, with others, were waiting for the coming of Messiah. Consolation of Israel, and we're told also, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It simply means he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now thus far, in our study of this man Simeon and his Christ-filled life, we have considered Simeon and his witness for Christ. Last Lord's Day, we considered Simeon and his worship of Christ. We didn't get that particular point completed last Lord's Day. We considered Simeon and his worship of Christ. And regarding that particular subject and particular point, we noted his coming into the temple. We're told regarding Simeon that he came by the Spirit into the temple. Verse 27. He came by the Spirit. We pointed out that it is interesting how those words are rendered in the original and how they may be read. We have here, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Those words also may be read, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And so when he came into the temple that day, he did so led by the Spirit, but he also came in the Spirit. And those words are interesting because the same words are used of John when he was in the Isle of Patmos. Remember what John said? I was in the Spirit, just like Simeon. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 1, verses 10 and 11. It was when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day that he saw one like unto the Son of Man. He saw Christ. Revelation 1, verse 13. Now we see Simeon in the Spirit coming into the temple. And lo and behold, who does he see? He sees Christ. Just as John saw Christ on the Isle of Patmos. How important it is for us when we enter the Lord's house on the Lord's day to be in the Spirit. To be in the Spirit of worship. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And ought we not to come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day in the Spirit? In the spirit of prayer. Praying, sir, we would see Jesus. Come into the Lord's house in the spirit of preparedness. That is, ready and prepared to meet with God and to worship Him. Come in the spirit of praise. ready to sing the praises to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Simeon entered the temple. Not only do we see his coming into the temple, but his claim in the temple. Not only was Simeon in the spirit when he entered the temple that day to worship, but he was led by the Spirit. He came by the Spirit. These words speak to us of his readiness. His readiness to enter the temple, to enter the place of worship. That is, his readiness to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. We see that this little known man had a life that was full of the Spirit of God. You look there in those verses. We're told in the verse 25, at the end of the verse, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. We're told in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. You look at verse 27, and he came by the Spirit. So he lived the Spirit-led and the Spirit-filled life. How important it is for God's people to be led by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you have his readiness to enter into the temple, to worship. And we pointed out that there was no reluctance on the part of Simeon. He was ready. He was led by the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. And that's how he entered the temple. There was no reluctance on his part of entering the place of worship. He was glad to be in the house of God. So it should be with us. Do we feel, even this morning, what the psalmist felt? Remember what the psalmist said? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are we glad to be here in the Lord's house today? Glad to be in the Lord's house. We noted also not only his readiness, but his receiving. That is, Simeon had spent many days of his life, many years of his life, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Spirit of God led him into the temple, and at the same time, Mary and Joseph entered the temple with the Christ child. And whenever Simeon saw him, we're told that he took the child, verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. That's understandable. He had been waiting and watching for years for the coming Messiah, and he entered the temple, and there he was, in the arms of his mother. And we are told that he took him up in his arms. He waited a long time for seeing Messiah of the consolation of Israel. And that was his immediate response. Take him up in his arms. As if he was saying to Mary, give him to me. And he took the Christ into his arms. The Messiah had come. You know that his rejoicing, because we're told he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He's rejoicing. The person he had waited for so long, he takes him up in his arms and blessed God. He rejoiced at seeing Christ. That's what it's about. He rejoiced at seeing the Messiah. And that surely ought to be the same with us. That when we see Christ in the Scriptures, or we're sitting in God's house and Christ is preached, we ought to rejoice. We ought to bless God and be able to say, I've seen the Lord today. I've been blessed today because I have seen the Savior. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious? Oh, how blessed! How blessed to call him mine. So we noted then Simeon coming into the temple, and Simeon and his claim in the temple, he claimed Christ. And then we noted his comfort in the temple, seeing the Christ child there in the temple that day brought Simeon great peace and comfort. Look there at verse 29. The Lord now, this is Simeon speaking, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so here is Simeon, and he says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Because the Lord had told him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he has seen him. He's fully satisfied. He had waited so long for the Christ, for Messiah. But now he sees him. He's fully satisfied. And he now is able to say, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace. Talking about his death, Simeon said, I can die in peace now. Strange, isn't it? How when some well-known celebrity or whatever dies, and somebody wants to pay tribute to them, they end up with the letters R.I.P. meaning rest in peace. I'll tell you something. If you don't have the peace of God before you die, you'll not have it after. And there's no such a thing as resting in peace for those who die without Christ. And what a difference there is between the child of God going home to be with the Lord and someone who knows not Christ. They're not resting in peace, and they'll not rest in peace in eternity. Most definitely not. Pastor Mullen, a great preacher, spoke about the day that he was at his mother's bedside. He wasn't saved at the time. He tells the story in his testimony. His mother loved the Lord, and he was with her at her bedside when she crossed over Jordan. And he said he stood there at her bedside, and suddenly his mother opened up her eyes, and she looked up, and he said she raised her two hands heavenward, and she says, I'm coming, Lord. And fell asleep in Christ. She was like Simeon. She had peace. Contrast that with the French philosopher Voltaire. Voltaire made fun of Christians and Christianity, denied the existence of God. It is said of Voltaire, when he lay on his deathbed, people went in to visit him, and they couldn't stay more than 5 minutes because of the foul language that was coming out of Voltaire's mouth. But one who was with him when he breathed his last, he cried out, there is a hell. There is a hell. Passed out into eternity. That's the difference. Now let us thy servant depart in peace. I have seen the Christ. And so it is with the one who has seen Christ by faith, put their trust in him. And Christ is their Savior, and Christ is their peace. And when it comes to the end, there's no fear of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's no fear of death for the child of God. Like Simeon, we can say, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace. Christ is the King of Salem. Salem means peace. Christ is our peace. And we have in our hearts the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Do you have that peace? Do you have Christ? How will it be with you when you come to cross over Jordan and step out into the great unknown? Nobody to go with you. You'll find that out many times, that verse in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For there to be a shadow, there needs to be light. Light creates the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He's the light. He's with us. And will be with us. And so here Simeon said, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace. So he's coming into the temple. This claim in the temple when he took Christ in his arms. This comfort in the temple. I want you to notice his confession there in the temple. That is, while he was there in the temple holding the Christ child in his arms, he had much to say about the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And we read then, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, or those words spoken of him may be rendered spoken about him. They marvel at those things that Simeon had to say about Christ. Now, I want you to consider something. Here is Simeon, and as he looked upon the Christ child that day, obviously it was the first time he had seen Christ. And yet you look at what he said about Christ there in the temple that day, when he stood before Mary and Joseph. He certainly knew a lot about the Lord Jesus, even though he'd never seen him before. How was he able to say much, so much, about the Lord Jesus, one whom he had never seen before? He had so much to say, and he knew so much about him. No wonder the Holy Spirit, in introducing us to Simeon, said, behold, there was a man. Behold, look at this man. Pay attention to this man. And here is Simeon, and he's saying, so much about the one who is the consolation of Israel. His wearing and his knowledge teaches us that Simeon's life was all taken up with the Lord Jesus. That's why we say it. His life was Christ-filled. Christ-filled. The Lord Jesus Christ was his life. I think that's abundantly clear. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Day by day, as we said last week, every day would come. Perhaps Simeon said, the Lord will come today. Or maybe tomorrow we'll see Messiah. And here he is, talking so much about Christ. We must ask ourselves, how did Simeon know so much about the Lord? How did he have such a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's only one answer. He must have been a ready student of the Word. He must have been studying the Old Testament Scriptures and what the Old Testament Scriptures and what the prophets had to say about Messiah. In fact, I just checked it out. And all that Simeon said here to Mary and Joseph, I noted three Old Testament references. In verse 25, he spoke about the consolation of Israel. You can check that out against Isaiah 40 in verse 1. Then he said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, verse 30. You can check that out against Isaiah 52 and verse 10. And then he spoke about Christ as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel, verse 32. You can check that out against Isaiah 42 and verse 6. And so here in what Simeon had to say about the Lord Jesus, he was making reference to the Old Testament, and in particular, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And here we have a man who was a student of the Word. Evidently, he studied the Word, and he was able to say these things to Mary and Joseph about the Christ child. You know, if you and I want to know more about the Lord Jesus, we have to study the Word. We have to be a ready student of the Word of God. And it doesn't matter where you turn to in the Scriptures. Always be looking for Christ, because he's there. The Lord Jesus said, of the Holy Spirit, he said, when he has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. He will be your guide. And I can understand those people today who simply just dismiss the Old Testament and think, oh well, it's not really up to date. We shouldn't be reading it today. Person that says that, they're only showing their own ignorance. Remember what the Lord did with the Emmaus disciples as they traveled, walked along together, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them those things concerning himself and all the Scriptures. Because we know those Pharisees were never too far away from the Lord. Wherever he went, Pharisees were there. They lived by the law. They believed that they kept the law. Then they would find acceptance with God. But the Lord told them differently. Because we read in John 5, verse 39. This is what the Lord said to the Pharisees. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." When the Lord said, "Search the Scriptures," he was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament Scriptures obviously haven't been written yet. And so he's telling the Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life." You see, they've been looking at the Old Testament Scriptures, looking at the law, and seeking to live by the law. And the Lord said, "If ye think ye have eternal life," and he told them, "Search the Scriptures. For they are they which testify of me." In other words, the Pharisees had been searching the Old Testament Scriptures, but they didn't see Christ. They were just looking for the law, what they could do to find acceptance with God by keeping the law. That doesn't work. It's Christ we need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that we need. So let us be those who search the Scriptures, as the Lord said, for they are they which testify. The Old Testament Scriptures testify of Christ. Doesn't matter where you look in the Word of God, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And what do we need? We need the Lord to, as it were, anoint our eyes, that we might see him whom our soul loves. But look at that verse 33. Now here is Simeon. He's been talking about Christ and his showing his knowledge of Messiah, the consolation of Israel. And then we read in verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken about him." Joseph and his mother marveled. That word marveled is a word that means to wonder. To wonder. They were filled with wonderment at what Joseph and what Simeon had told them about the child that Mary held in her arms. But sure, that's hardly surprising, is it? But sure, when we study the Word and see the Lord Jesus Christ and see things there maybe we haven't seen before, does it not fill us with wonder? And even seeing the things we have seen before and they're repeated to us, it fills us with wonder. When we look into the Word and see his miracles, and we have conducted a series on the miracles of Christ, and when you see how the Lord Jesus wrought a miracle on individuals, when we see how the Lord wrought a miracle on lepers, covered from head to foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and he touched them, and their skin became like the skin of a child. Let that fill you with wonder. Or those who were born blind, and he gave them back their sight. Or those who were halt and lame. You think of that dear woman who came into the temple, and she was bent to double. And the Lord healed her. straightens her up. Those kind of things, that fill you with wonder. The wonder of his miracles. Then you look into the scriptures and you see the Lord Jesus Christ and you see his manner, how he conducted himself, how he behaved himself. That's a study in itself. And I've said so often, when you really look into the life of the Lord Jesus as he lived it on earth, I come to the conclusion we're so unlike him. When you really look into his life, his manner of life, and when we see his miracles, we're filled with wonder. When we see his manner, we're filled with wonder. Because he dealt with situations a completely different way than perhaps you and I would. And Lord willing, we'll see that tonight. When we see and read his messages, what he said, we're filled with wonder. So it was with Joseph and Mary. When they listened to Simeon tell about the Christ child and what would take place in his life and what he would be, we're told they marveled. Sure, that's not the way it was. During the Lord's earthly ministry and the public ministry, people marveled. Luke 9, verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered, there it is. They were all amazed, and while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, all things that he did, filled the people with wonder. That's who he is. And when we study the word and get into the book the way Simeon did, we'll be filled with wonder, seeing Christ. So we have considered Simeon and his witness for Christ, Simeon and his worship of Christ. That brings us finally to Simeon and his word about Christ. When a child is born into a home, the parents, no doubt, from time to time, they wonder what their child will grow up to be. What kind of a life he or she will lead. Well, Simeon revealed to Joseph and Mary some things about the future of their son, their child. He began by telling them that they were blessed. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold this child. Simeon was telling Joseph and Mary that they were blessed. They were blessed to have such a son. And of course all who have Christ, who know Christ, and have him as Savior, were blessed. Mary and Joseph had Christ, the Christ child. Simon said, you're blessed. You're blessed. And we who have Christ as Savior, we're blessed. Over in Romans, in chapter 4, and there the Apostle Paul tells us about how blessed we are. Romans 4. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. We're blessed without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Quoting Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See? Mary and Joseph had Christ. They had him in their arms. But those who have Christ in their heart, they're blessed. Believer, you and I were a blessed people. Our sins have been forgiven. Our transgressions have been blotted out, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore, forever. And what though the accuser roar, of evils I have done, shall I know them all? Thousands more. But Jehovah findeth none. What a blessed people we are. And Simon proceeds to tell Joseph and Mary, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Verse 34. Here Simon deals with salvation. Christ and salvation. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Here Simeon deals with the reason why this child came into the world. Because all men are fallen. This child is set for the fall and rising again. That's why he came into the world, because all men are fallen. They have a fallen, depraved nature. But Christ, through his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, will be the means of raising them again. Raising again of many in Israel. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. There's the fall. Man's fall. Because of man's fall in the Garden of Eden. Ye are dead. There's the fall. But then Paul goes on to say, but ye have been quickened. There's the rising again. We've been given life. All men are dead in trespasses and in sins. But when Christ comes and Christ saves them, they're brought from death unto life. Quickened, you have the quickened who were dead, trespasses and in sins. That's what this Christ child had come to do. To give life to those who were dead and trespasses and in sins. So Joseph and Mary had every reason to be blessed, knowing that their son had the power to raise the dead. And of course the Lord did it physically. He raised the dead. That every time he saves a soul, he raises the dead. We're dead in sin, and then we're quickened. We're given life. He raises us up. He's doing it all the time. He is the resurrection and the life. That's the one we have as Savior. So he speaks about salvation and Christ. Then he talks about the sign and Christ. He said that the Christ child would grow up for a sign which shall be spoken against. Simeon revealed to Mary that her son would be spoken against. I wonder how that felt for Mary hearing that news. My son is going to be spoken against. He's going to grow up with people speaking against him. He had already told the parents that Christ had come for the raising up again of many in Israel. It was an encouraging word. But now Simeon tells that your child's going to be spoken against. There were those who will speak against him. And how those words, those prophetic words were fulfilled. No one has ever been spoken against as Christ was. No one. He's still being spoken against today. Did his enemies speak against him and they called him Beelzebub? Beelzebub, prince of devils. Can you imagine? Christ, the prince and the king of glory, being called Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Pointing him out to me, there's the prince of devils. Spoken against. Then they say of him, or it's written of him, he was despised and rejected of men. Despised. Spoken against. He was despised. And he's still being despised today. Despised. And he's still being rejected by men today. And then his enemies say, behold, a gluttonous man. How robbed they were. Then they spend 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and never had one bite of food. And old Satan used that to tempt the Lord and said, you can turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, was the Savior's answer. But they called him a gluttonous man, a wine bibber. Lies and lies and more lies. Even when he was on the cross, and they offered him a drink to ease his suffering and to ease his pain, he refused it. And they called him a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. That would have been an insult in the ears and in the eyes of many, but we praise the Lord, Christ is the friend of publicans and sinners. If he was not the friend of publicans and sinners, where would we be today? And didn't they, their name calling continue and persist until with one united voice his enemies cried out, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And how hard it must have been for Mary to be told that Christ, her child, would be spoken against. How that must have pierced her heart. But that wasn't all. Simeon had something else to say to Mary. If you look there, verse 35. Yea, and he's speaking to Mary. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. That little word also tells as much. Just that word also. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. What was the other sword then that Simeon was referring to? You turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. There the prophet says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow." Here's the Father speaking, and he's referring to his Son, "My fellow." The Lord, saith the Lord of hosts, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." The sword referred to there by the prophet Zechariah was the sword of the judgment of God. And that sword was wielded as Christ hung there upon the cross. That sword was unsheathed when Christ hung upon the cross. And God the Father poured out his anger, his wrath upon his own Son, because his own Son was bearing all the sins of his people. And sin must be judged, and our sins were judged in Christ. That was the sword. And then Simeon says to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." And it was the sword of pain that Mary felt as she stood that day at the cross. John 19, verse 25, "Neither stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene." There's Mary, his mother. She stood by the cross. And she looked up and saw the suffering of her Son. Simeon says it would be like a sword into your very soul. And that's what Mary saw that day, and that's what Mary felt that day as she stood there by the cross. Simeon. What a man Simeon was. As I say, only mentioned twice. 11 verses dealing with his life. And is it interesting that Simeon, this, who lived a Christ-filled life, as he spoke to Mary and Joseph, where did he finish his discourse? At the cross. He led Mary and Joseph to the cross, as he told them about the sword that would pierce their Son, and the sword that would pierce the very soul of Mary. May the Lord bless His word. May we take to heart the things that Simeon did as he searched the scriptures. He had a deep knowledge of Christ because he searched the Old Testament scriptures. And in speaking to Mary and Joseph, he led them to the cross. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh dear loving God and loving eternal Father, we thank thee indeed for the cross of Christ lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh Lord, I pray that all here today will know the Savior, will know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior. That they'll be able to say with Simeon, "Thy Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace." Dear Lord, be with us throughout this day and throughout this week. Keep each one, Lord, healthy and well. Bless us in all our troubles. And, O Lord, for today, return us to thy house this evening. We might learn more about the Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.